Brothers and sisters, we have before us an occasion where Jesus has just commemorated the Lord's Supper with his own disciples. They had been in the upper room. He had given them the fruit of the vine, and he had shared this with them, pointing to the new sacrament that we commemorate even to this day of the Lord's Supper. And all that's transpiring from this point on is a focus upon his relationship with his church, his people. And it is in this chapter in particular, as Jesus is unfolding this glorious truth of an I am. Twice in this passage, you notice in verse 1, he says, I am the true vine. And then verse 5, I am the vine. This is a glorious truth that we need to begin with in our consideration of three questions we need to ask ourselves as this truth comes to us. Maybe as Jesus was walking out with his disciples, they walked past some trees or some grapevines, and he's reminded. He seemed to always be reminded as he looked around him, as the patterns and pictures of the creation around him spoke of spiritual things. And here he is pointing to no less than the true vine himself. Here is Christ, the vine, who has come down from God the Father, who left his place of glory and dwelt among men. And yet he calls himself this vine. And later it will become evident to us why he makes this analogy and this comparison. But for now, let's understand that he's saying, I am the vine, you are the branches, and my Father is the husbandman. Jesus adds to this picture that truth, that his Father is the husbandman, because when we begin to understand that he being the vine is dealt with by his Father, he wants us to also realize that this husbandman, his Father, is also caring for the whole, the vine and the branches. And as we see our Lord walking in the Gospels, what do we notice about him? His coming in the flesh was to obey his Father's will. Everything about our Lord, his one desire, his one delight, was to be united, to follow, to obey his Father's will. He sought his Father's glory in every instance. There was, we could say, this utter, as the Son of Man, this utter and complete dependence on the husbandman. At every turn, every important decision, every circumstance where he's facing challenge and difficulty, where does he turn in prayer? To his Father. And this husbandman cared for, protected, encouraged, strengthened this vine. And Christ is confessing that while he was on the earth, he saw what the Father had given him to do, and He came forth and he spoke the words he had heard of his Father. He says, for these things, what things soever the Father doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. And just as the husbandman cared for and upheld the vine in his planting and caring for this vine, so the work that is being done for the branches, if we are united to Christ, is valuable and important. We have been placed into this vine for one reason: to bear fruit. This passage really is about our Lord Jesus Christ. That in introduction. The vine is the source of all spiritual life. It's only through this vine that any branch can live. And it's only because of this vine that we would bear any fruit. That being the case, there are three questions, I think, that we can find in this passage that we need to ask ourselves as we consider this parable of our Lord. And the first question is this: are we in the vine? Are we in the vine? The essential question that is presented to us by Jesus here is the reality that there are only two kinds of branches. There are many who are, as it were, even connected outwardly to this vine, because he mentions here in verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. He's saying by this picture that there are some who have this appearance of being connected to the vine, yet they are dead branches. They're not bearing fruit. They're seemingly part of the vine and yet have no real union with this vine. And so the question before us is a serious one. Judas was with these disciples here in the upper room as well. Those who are truly in the vine are those who are united to Jesus Christ. They have His Spirit dwelling in them. They have been by faith, saving faith, brought into union with the vine. They've been cut off from old stock. They have been engrafted into Christ. They are new creatures. They are alive spiritually to God. Before we were dead, before we bore no fruit, only corrupt fruit. But now Jesus is saying when we are united to Him and we are drawing our energy, our strength, our life from Him, we have come to the place where we confess we have no strength in ourselves. No energy which we find in ourselves to bear this fruit that we are called to bear. The branches that are connected to the vine and have a living relationship with Him bear fruit. Are you in this vine? The fruit that's mentioned throughout Scripture in various places are fruits that indicate our connection to the vine. Let me give you a few examples of this fruit. First of all, in Romans 1:13, Paul speaks to the Romans that he would desire some fruit among them as well as other Gentiles. And as we are here in training for the ministry, I trust that one of the fruits that the Lord has given us to desire to bear for His glory is that others, through the ministry He enables us to do, would be gathered in, would be joined, as it were, to this vine and draw their life from Him. Another is fruit of holiness. In Romans 6, Paul says, "Now being made free from sin, become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life." Do we bear the fruit of holiness in our lives? A fruit which demonstrates we are united to the Holy Christ and bear fruit to a holy God. So our whole life is encompassed with a desire, a pursuit to put off those things which hinder us from being those who bear abundant fruit to the glory of God instead of measly, small, insignificant fruit. There's the fruit of giving. Romans 15, Paul says, "For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit," even our giving is entitled by Paul here a fruit that would bring glory to God. Serving fruit, Colossians 1 verse 10, "that you might walk worthy of the Lord to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work." As we go about our task here, this isn't about us. This isn't about bearing fruit to bring glory to ourselves. The reason we desire to live out of the vine is, as Jesus states, to bring glory to the Father. An abundant fruit. Fruits of righteousness. James 3. "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." Are we bearing the fruit of righteousness? And then the fruit of our lips. Hebrews 13, "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually." That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. Jesus ends this passage in verse 11 that the joy, his joy, would remain in us. That would be expressed as well as the writer to the Hebrews is here saying, the offer of sacrifice of praise from our lips. Wherever we go, there ought to be an aroma of Christ because we are united to this vine. And those who would see us would deliver this aroma of fruit to the glory of God, the praise and sacrifice of our lips. The scriptures are clear. We have heard last time that the fields are white and ready for harvesting. And God sends forth his people to be examples, to be those who demonstrate being united to the vine is the only place we have life. Are you united to this vine who has life in himself? Who comes to give life to dead branches? Who gave his life that we might live. You will have, dear friends, in your congregation, the picture that's presented here. Living branches that are bearing fruit. And dead branches that seemingly are connected to this vine. Made confession of faith. Go to the Lord's Supper. Maybe have some outward transformation of life. But are not drawing their strength and life and are utterly dependent upon Christ. These branches that Jesus speaks about, he wants us to focus upon his people, his disciples. You are the branches. You are to bear fruit. And Jesus wants us to understand clearly that the only way to bear fruit in him, the fruits we have been describing, the life that is vibrant and full of joy in the Lord, can only be when we abide in him. That brings us to the second question we need to ask ourselves. Are we abiding in this vine? Jesus says to us, verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. The true believer is one who has been united to Christ. If you take this picture of the vine and its engrafting and its bearing all of its strength and energy from the vine, there is a union that's inseparable here. It's drawing all of its nutrients to the vine. It's drawing all of its life and vitality from this vine. If you would go into a vineyard and you would cut off one of these branches and lay it on the ground and it's no longer connected, we understand that branch is going to wither. It's going to die. Any fruit that would begin to be formed on it would simply rot away. What Jesus is saying to us clearly is, I am the vine. You are the branches. You are called to bear abundant fruit. Just as I've come to bear fruit to my Father, you are to follow in this way and bear fruit to His glory as well. But you can't do that except you abide in me. We all imagine, I think, at least I do, that we can somehow at times in our life, whether we want to say it's spiritual life or natural life, can get by without relying on the Lord for all of our decisions, for all of the strength to do the papers we do, to do the readings, to function in our families, in our churches. And Jesus is saying to us, you can't do it. Do we believe that? If we believe that, we would resort to this vine more frequently, more often. Because then with Paul, we would say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How many times have we either said or heard someone say, you asking them in counseling, maybe this needs to be changed. You need to stop doing this. You need to start doing that. But I can't. What are they saying? They're not understanding this truth. Because Jesus is saying if we are in the vine, if we draw our life from Him and we are connected and united to Him, all strength is available to us. We need to rely on Him. And it's not realizing we are united to Him and connected to Him. It's no wonder we would say to ourselves and we would experience perhaps as we try to do things, we can't. And Jesus is saying, except you abide in the vine. Imagine if we could and would live out of this truth and reality more. We rise out of our beds. We give thanks that His strength has sustained us. We begin the day with looking to Him to do for us what we can't, to strengthen us for the tasks that are before us. And we realize then that the fruit we're called to bear by Jesus will never be because we have done something, but only because we rely on Him who has done it all. That's what Jesus is saying in this passage. This is very liberating. Because if we turn to Him, if we draw strength from Him, if we cast ourselves on Christ, if we cling to Him, this is what He's promised to do. It doesn't mean we don't do anything. We work because He works in us. But if we are attempting to do this work apart from Him, without relying on Him, it may seem to prosper. It may bring glory to us, but it misses the point of Christ. Except you, as a branch, abide in Me, the vine. You cannot bear fruit. Have you ever prayed that you might bear more fruit? Abundant fruit, as Jesus is saying here in this passage? Well, that means what Jesus is saying to us is, if we would bear more and abundant fruit, verse 2 tells us that the husbandman is going to purge us. You see, the spiritual life of the believer is one in which the great husbandman, the Father, is pruning, cutting back here and trimming there, a painful process in the life of the believer. Times afflictions come, time trouble in relationship comes, various circumstances of our life that seem to go upside down, inward struggles with sin, and all these things, the husbandman in His care and His love and His purpose that more fruit would be brought forth is dealing with us. And so if we are praying that we would be more like Christ, if we'd bear more fruit, we mustn't be surprised if afflictions or trials or troubles or temptations come across our path. But Jesus is saying there's one only solution, one only place where the believer, the branch needs to go, and that's to draw continual strength from the vine. Some years ago, my wife in our garden at home remarked to me after a whole season of observing the bean plants. She said, you know, there were these couple of rows that were just full and bushy and large leaves. And she looked through them and there was a bean here and a bean there and a few here and there. But then there was a couple of rows next to it. They seemed to be sometimes spots on the leaves and broken down. And yet there was an abundant crop. God uses afflictions and trials and things that would seem to press us down so that we would bear abundant fruit, that we continue to draw our strength from Him, looking to ourselves. There is no strength. There is no ability to bear this abundant fruit that He calls us to bear. Six times in this passage, Jesus is reminding His disciples. He's reminding us, abide in Me. Abide in Me. abide in me. It's just like Psalm 150, over and over. The Lord, through the psalmist, is saying, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Someone has once said, why did we need to be told so many times to praise the Lord? Because we're so reticent to do that. We're so reticent to realize our utter dependence on the vine. He needs to tell us, abide in me. Live out of me. Trust in me. Cling to me. That's what he's saying back in chapter 5 of John as well, when he negatively says to the Pharisees, you have not his word abiding in you. For whom he has sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So what is it to abide in Christ? It's to be those who are going to the word and in prayer. So we cry out to him, teach me, lead me, fill me, guide me. It's using the means of his grace. Christ will say in John 6:56, he that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells or abides in me and I in him. It's through these very ways that we abide in him. As you're sitting in your classes, and I've heard several of you remark, it's like many times sitting in worship. It's not just taking information. It's adoration to the one we serve, this vine who gives us life and sustains us every moment of every day. Abide in him. And the more fruit that we bear, the more like to the vine we become. We show forth the character, the life, the work of the Spirit of Christ within us. J.C. Ryle says that one of these fruits that are born are the fruits of repentance and faith. He says, he that would know what the word fruit means, not wait long for an answer. Repentance towards God, faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, holiness of life and conduct. These are what the New Testament calls fruit. These are the distinguishing marks of a man who is a living branch of the true vine. Where these things are wanting, it is vain to talk of possessing dormant grace and spiritual life. Where there's no fruit, there's no life. He that lacks these things is dead while he lives. Are you abiding in this vine? And the last question we ask ourselves this morning is the question of fruit. Are we bearing fruit? Not only are we in the vine, the essential question of united to Christ, drawing life from him, are we abiding there? But now lastly, Jesus is also reminding us we ought to bear abundant fruit. Jesus moves from this bearing of fruit to the Father's purging of the branch for the purpose of bearing much fruit. He says, herein is my Father glorified. Again, I remind you in verse 11 what Jesus ends this section, this short section on. These things I've spoken to you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Christ is saying when we abide in the vine and we are bearing abundant fruit, we're relying on him, we're eating and drinking the word, we're fed and nourished by the life of Christ, by his Spirit, but we're filled with joy. Joy because we're united to the vine. Joy because our Father is the husbandman. Though he's pruning, though he's cutting back what needs to be trimmed, we have this certainty that the fruit we are called to bear is nothing about me. Whatever fruit you could say you have been by grace enabled to bear to the glory of God, you know it is not appointing to yourself. You are the channel through which this grace of the husbandman is flowing from this vine, his son. And all glory and honor belongs to him. And so what a blessing it is when we bear this abundant fruit and we are filled with joy. So it's our calling in this passage to be a branch, to abide in the vine. And though we are filled with weaknesses and utter helplessness, and even as we look to ourselves, fruitlessness in many respects, the calling we have in this passage is bear fruit, abundant fruit. And then we say, it's not in me, it's in the vine who gives his life that we might bear this fruit to the glory of God. He fills us with his spirit, with his power, with his life, that we can minister to others, that we can be husbands and fathers, and those who he's called forth into the harvest that is white and ready. We can be those individuals when we remain united to him, live out of him. And we need not be distressed when the vine dresser comes and he prunes us here and he prunes us there and cuts away those tendrils that are sucking up sap from us so that we might bear this abundant fruit and be filled with joy. Disciples were sorrowful when the Lord, of course, was crucified and he was in the grave. But what joy they had when he appeared to them again. Our joy should be full if we live in the reality we are united to him. We draw our strength from him. Our life is in him. And we're called to go forth with joy, living for him. You are his branches. You are called to bear abundant fruit. And it's only, friends, in the strength of Christ that we will bear any fruit. But let us be up and about the Master's business as our Lord was about his Father's business. He relied on his Father completely. Let us rely on him and bear abundant fruit. Let's pray. Our gracious God, help us to bear this abundant fruit to thy glory. We confess when we look to ourselves, we often try to bear fruit, we fail. But when we rely upon thee, when we trust in thee, when we draw our life sap from thee, thou dost give this fruit, and that we bear it with joy. Fill us, Lord, with the Spirit of Christ, so that in uniting, being united not only to him, but abiding in him, we might bring to thy name's glory forth this fruit. Be with us then now as we consider these things, meditate upon them, and also as we pray for the various needs present in our community as well. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.